Okay, welcome to episode 6 of the Burning Bush Podcast. A couple things I wanted to mention before we get started. I know if you listened to any of the first few episodes, I can't remember exactly which ones, but the first, somewhere in the first 3 or 4, I was recording at a house that I was house sitting at, and there were sound issues with pool filters in the background and stuff, so hopefully that wasn't too much of a distraction. I'm actually back at that same house again, spending another 4-day weekend there, house sitting and dog sitting. I've made sure the pool filter is off here, and I've waited until the neighbors turn theirs off. Hopefully it'll stay off for as long as I'm recording, but even when I'm recording at home, I'm outside in the garage with the garage door open, so there's neighborhood noises and stuff, but no pool filters in the area, so hopefully this one will be a little quieter. And also, someone had mentioned in a comment that I might want to mention where you can find the cigars that I'm talking about, or give you pricing and things like that. And I thought about it, and it really doesn't make sense, because unless you're in my immediate area, me telling you where to find the cigars or what the pricing is isn't really relevant. I mean, I have listeners all over the country and even a couple in Europe. So me telling you where to find the cigars really isn't relevant. So, and especially like in Europe, pricing is going to be different, I'm sure. But, you know, I give you the links to the manufacturer's website in the show notes for every cigar. So if you go to the manufacturer's website, most of them all have cigar locators that can tell you where you can find their cigars in your area. And if they're not in your area, then if you smoke cigars, you probably know about all the online retailers, so shouldn't be too hard to find anything that I'm smoking on the show. So with that, let's get into the podcast. And this week I am smoking another one of my favorite cigars, a really good one, and it's by Southern Draw Cigars. It's called the Jacob's Ladder, and I'll read the description on their website. It says Jacob's Ladder Double Ligero. And before we get going, I am smoking the Maduro Toro 6x52. So on the website, it says Jacob's Ladder Double Ligero. And one thing I really like about the Southern Draw Company is not only are they veteran owned, but they're outspokenly Christian as well. And they have a, in the description on the website, they mention a Bible verse that comes from Genesis. And it's a quote about Jacob, where the name Jacob's Ladder comes from the book of Genesis. And I didn't pull up the chapter that it's in, but I will read you. On the website, it just says, had a dream, and behold, a ladder was set upon the earth. But I will read you in context the whole quote. It's a couple of verses long. It says, Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he came to a certain place and stayed there that night, because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And that is from Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 through 12. So I really like the fact that they're a Christian company. So the description of the cigar is, the wrapper is a USA Broadleaf, it's Maduro. The binder is a USA Maduro. And the filler is Nicaragua, Ligero, Jalapa, and Esteli. And the notes are black cherry, cashews, coffee, molasses, and cracked pepper. And then on the site, they also have a quote from Cigar Weekly magazine, and it says, "I think many of us as cigar enthusiasts enjoy the hunt for that ever-elusive cigar nirvana, always trying something new in hopes that upon lighting up, we think, now this is what I've been looking for. I'm not sure if the Jacob's Ladder from Southern Draw is truly cigar nirvana, but for me, it comes awful dang close." That's a quote from Cigar Weekly back in 2017. And then the sizes it's available in is the Robusto, which is 5.5x54, Toro 6x52, the Gordo 6.5x60, Lancero is 6.5x40, and Perfecto is 6x56, and the there's two Perfectos. I don't understand. Perfecto 6x56 and a Perfecto 5x58. Okay. So the Perfectos come in two different lengths and ring gauges. This confused me for a second. Okay, so now we're going to get back into Mike Heiser's book, What Does God Want? And today we're starting in chapter 2. God still wanted a family. In the last chapter, I made the point that God equipped people to image him on earth. He did that by sharing his attributes, his qualities and abilities, with them. As wonderful as that was, and is, it's where things get interesting and scary. One of God's qualities is freedom, what we often call free will. If you've ever wondered why there's evil in the world, here's the Bible's answer. Rebellion number one. When God made the decision to share his attributes with his children, he knew what it meant. God knows everything, so he understood clearly what would happen. God had made the same decision earlier with the heavenly family he had created. They have abilities like intelligence and freedom, too. They got those gifts from their Creator. Sooner or later, God knew that his gifts would be either misused or abused. He knew full well that, though his children in the spiritual world and on earth were like him, they were not him. They were less than him. They were imperfect, whereas he is perfect. At some point, one or more of his children would either make a horrible mistake or act in thoughtless self-interest, rebelling against something God wanted done or not done. That's precisely what happened in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve rebelled. They violated God's command to not eat from one of the trees in the garden. They sinned and lost eternal life in God's presence. Every human born thereafter was born outside Eden, estranged from God. The Apostle Paul summed it up well. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. That tragedy was brought on by an even earlier rebellion. One of God's supernatural children decided to dishonor God's decision to have a human family by tempting Eve, hoping God would destroy her and Adam. He came to Eve in the form of a serpent, Genesis 3:1-7. The Bible refers to the serpent as Satan and the devil, Revelation 12:9. He succeeded in getting Eve to sin, but failed when it came to getting rid of humanity permanently. There are some deep truths here, the first of which answers a question everyone asks at some point in life. Why is there evil in the world? Evil exists in the world because God decided he wanted to create beings like himself. I don't mean that God has an evil side. Rather, I mean that God rejected the idea of creating humans as robots or pre-programmed computers made of flesh. That last point is important. Our likeness to him had to be authentic. Without the genuine freedom to make real decisions, we simply would not be like God. God is no robot, and we were made to be like him. Without genuine free will, we cannot authentically love God or obey God. If decisions are pre-programmed, they aren't really decisions. For decisions like love and obedience to be authentic, they must be made against a truly possible alternative. The result of all this is that evil exists because people abuse God's wonderful gift of freedom and use it for self-gratification, revenge, and the mirage of autonomy. This abuse began in Eden. But God was not taken by surprise. He had anticipated evil. He foresaw what would happen and planned accordingly. God did not destroy his human children for their rebellion. Instead, he would forgive and redeem them. The Bible makes it clear that God saw what was coming and had a plan of forgiveness and salvation in place before the rebellion even happened, from the foundation of the world, to be precise. Ephesians 1:4, Hebrews 9:26 through 10:7, and 1 Peter 1:20. The plan of salvation would ultimately require God becoming a man. We'll get to that part of the story soon enough. But long before that climactic event, there was a price to pay for what happened in Eden. God banished Adam and Eve, and therefore their descendants, from his presence. Eden was no more. Instead of eternal life with God the Father, humanity would now look forward to death. Romans 5:12. That's what separation from the source of life, God, ultimately costs. In effect, God kicked his children out of his house. But that was a better outcome than what the serpent had hoped for, human destruction. God wasn't giving up on his plan to have a human family, but rebellion had a cost. God also punished Satan. Having brought death into God's world, he became Lord of the realm of the dead, what would later become known as hell. All right, so that's this week's section of What Does God Want by Mike Heiser. And come back next week and join me for the next part. So I hope you enjoyed this week. And as always, have a great day, have a great cigar, and God bless.